Welcome, everyone. We want to welcome Facebook people that are watching, and we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon your heart. And thank you for watching. And that the word of the Lord will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before us. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the month of January is basically called Sanctity of Life Month. And you might say, well, you know, why is that, you know, done? Well, Sanctity of Life Month basically is to look at life in general, from the youngest to the oldest, and to thank God for life, that God has given life to his people, God has given life to humanity, and that all are important to him. Everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, to the disabled, you know, infirm, whatever it is, whatever's happening in human life, that all is important to God. And on the third Sunday of each of January of each year, that is called Sanctity of Life Sunday, which is gives gratitude and thanks to God for all the life that he has given to humanity, life he's given to the earth, life he's given to us as Christians, as his sons and daughters. And so, you know, we celebrate today the life that he has given unto us, celebrating life that the Almighty God has given unto us, and what he's given unto us in his word, through his scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, through his son, through his life, thanking God for that. This week we're reminded that as Christians we are to be people who rejoice in, cherish, and celebrate all of life. Now, on January the 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Life, of Human Life Day. So thank God for what he's done. You know, even though if you agree with him or not on his policies, we thank God for this man, that God put it upon his heart, that it was set aside every year when it was set for Sanctity of Life. On January 22nd, 1973, was the day that the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states. Not a good situation. Not good. That was on January 22nd, 1973. So you can see 11 years later is when Ronald Reagan set that date aside, honoring all life, after the Supreme Court had legalized abortion, saying it was legally right to have it done in all 50 states in our union. Now, we know since then they have been, it's in Louisiana and in a lot of other states, many restrictions that have been placed upon abortions and many pullbacks on just being open wide throughout our society, thank God. But still, it's still legal to have an abortion. And you can have an abortion up to the 9 months, basically. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a partial birth abortion. I have. It's a sad situation. Sad. Where they go in and they take apart, and I know it's hard. It's hard for me, and it's hard for anybody in society, especially Christians, where they go in and they, you know, do these things, and it's all basically for money. It's all basically for all that, for the doctors and the nurses and all those that are doing that. It brings destruction to the lady. It brings destruction to the baby. But also, you know, God says that he has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. You know, I don't know, but I I don't know in here anyone that has had an abortion. I don't know, you know, whatever. But I do know this, that God can restore, that God can heal. And sometimes we may make decisions and we don't maybe think it out thoroughly, or we just think it out on that context of where we are, or we weren't even a Christian at that time. And we make a decision because we see this coming, a child is coming, and maybe we can't support it, and maybe we can't give it the life. And so the world says out there, I have a solution for you, you know. And the solution is have an abortion. Get rid of it. It'll be gone, and that's it, you know. But God doesn't think that way. But also, to these ladies, you know, whoever they are, that God can still come in as you ask for forgiveness, and the Spirit of God can bring healing to these ladies, and healing to sometimes to the fathers too, knowing that they have made these decisions and it was in the wrong direction. You know, is there any case where abortion is okay? I just don't see it. And I know there's certain scenarios that we can all come up with. But in the end, God gives life. God gives life. He's the author of life. As John 10:10 says, you know, that he gives life and he wants us to have it more abundantly. But we're here to celebrate life and celebrate how God can restore, as we sang that song, a restorer, a rebuilder. You know, that we can ask the Almighty God for all the bloodshed that has been shed with abortions. Each year, around the world, between 40 and 50 million babies are aborted. No. That's a sad situation. And it's about 125,000 abortions per day. Now that's the whole world. You know, we have a clinic in Baton Rouge right there, people. I've talked to people that go and they hold up signs and they're trying to stop any woman or a couple that's going in there, trying to stop them, give them literature, trying to stop them, saying, look, let's come over here. Let me show you actually what's going on. It's just not a mass of tissue that's inside of you, but it's a baby that has, right when it is conceived, that the Spirit of God gives that child, that baby, a spirit from God. You know, and so we need to do everything we can, asking God to forgive us, but trying to stop all that we can, because God has come to give us life. And like I said earlier, look, it says in Scripture, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ladies, maybe, you know, something like that has happened with abortion. Look, forgiveness. God forgives and gives new life. You know, we've all maybe done some stupid things. So we've all said some things. We've all said things, done things that just, oh, Lord, why did I say that? Why did I do that? You know, and it's like we have to go and ask for forgiveness and ask the Spirit of God to move upon our hearts and lives and change us. But look, I want you to look at Scripture. It says in Psalms 139, if you would turn there. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, look at verse 13. King David was the author of this psalm here, and he's saying this. He says, for you have possessed my reins, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. You are covered in my mother's womb. People, look, we can have other scriptures, but no one in here is a mistake. was a mistake. The devil will try to tell you you're worthless sometimes and you're a mistake. You know, just look. In your mother's womb, God comes in by his spirit. God gives a spirit to every, we're made of what? Spirit, soul, and body. And at the time of that conception, when the egg and the sperm meet, they whatever it is, whenever it comes together, God's spirit gives a spirit to that person. Because you see, it's the spirit and the soul, they intertwine, that when we die, we'll go to heaven. Is that it comes from God to humanity at conception, and hopefully when that person passes away, and they have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that spirit man will go back to the Father. You see? Brought to the earth, okay? That spirit lives in us, is the spirit man that lives in us, and it goes back to the Father. Has everybody been to a funeral home? I'm sure everybody has. It's kind of hilarious. I know everybody has. But you walk in, and they tell you, don't go down the road, die. Okay. When you walk in, you see the body. But it's like it's nothing. Because the spirit and the soul has to work. See, we are more alive with that spirit and soul on the inside of us than anything, people. That's where the life comes from. Life comes from God Almighty. You have been wondrously made. As the scripture says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's you and I too. That the Spirit of God named us. The Spirit of God knows us. The Spirit of God is with us. We are alive. He brings life. You know, it says that life is in the blood. You take the blood out, that's it. But the Spirit of God that is there, it's life. And God has come to give us life more abundantly. All we got to do is trust in him, trust in his word, trust in the cross of Calvary and what Christ did at the cross, what he did for us. We are made by him. We're not accidents. No accident, people. Humanity can say all kinds of stuff, and all kinds of things happen. But I tell you what, in the end, it's God Almighty that gives life to his people, that gives life to humanity. And you and I are important to him. Because we have been made in the image of Almighty God, people. Spirit, soul, and body. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All threes, it seems like. That the Almighty God, as he looks to us, he sees the image of himself. Not that we're gods. Oh, no, no, no. We are a fallen being, saved by grace, by the power of Almighty God. Fallen in Genesis chapter 1 or so. Fallen because of the sin and the sin nature that entered into Adam and Eve. But yet we were made in the spitting image of our God. That's why the devil hates you and I. Because every time, you know, when you walk by a mirror and you look at it, you see yourself. You kind of see the wrinkles, you see kind of whatever. You see maybe when you have to get your hair done and you have to do all that. You just see it all. But when God looks at us, he sees because we're made in the image of our God. And old Slewfoot, when he sees us, he sees the God that defeated him. And that's why he hates humanity. That's why he loves to see the elderly euthanized. That's why he loves to see the infant babies aborted. That's why he loves to see, you know, that now that I was listening this week about how many states are passing laws that are allowing the elderly to take their own life. I mean, to literally set a date and a time and to do whatever it takes, however they eject it, whatever, to take their own life. God gives life and God takes life when it's his time. We've gotten to the place where now life is almost useless in the world. Well, it doesn't matter, you know, that what happens to this other human being. Where gun shooting is going on so much. And look, let me tell you, I am pro-gun. As far as you can carry a gun, you can use it. Let me tell you, that's in our amendments. That's in our Constitution. That we have that. We're able to have that. Nah, nothing. No problem with that. But I don't like people going into places and shooting up. That's not right. You know, the Bible says in Exodus, where it talks about the Ten Commandments, it does say, thou shalt not kill. But honestly, they should have wrote it differently. You have to remember, we're translating this, okay? King James, he got it almost right, but it should have been translated, thou shalt not murder. Murder. And you see, abortion murders. Euthanasia murders. Get rid of the disabled and infirm murders. But God says, thou shalt not murder. God says we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to defend us as a church. We have a right to defend our families. We have a right to defend ourselves in whatever way that we need to defend ourselves. God didn't say that thou shalt not kill. That's not correctly. As we may interpret it, should be, thou shalt not murder. So I am not to walk into any place and just start shooting. That is not right. That now, if somebody comes against us, we have the right to defend ourselves. Yes, definitely, definitely. Don't let any intruder take your family. You fight to the end. You fight to the end. I said, oh Lord, everybody's going to have guns in here, don't they? No. But, you know, years ago, we probably didn't have to think of that much. Maybe today we do, you know. But you see, God says life is important to him, and we are to have life according to him and what he says. Life is important, and he gives life. Look at this. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. Look at this. We're made of spirit, soul, and body. We know the soul is part of the emotion, the appetites, the desires. The body is what we see on the outside. The spirit is the mind, the will, and the intellect which God gives. But look at this, because you have to, you know, I said, you know, God gives, look at this, verse 1. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel says, the Lord which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. It's God who forms the spirit of man, that spirit that lives on the inside of every one of us, that God gave from the throne. It is him. You have scripture to back it up. That he forms that spirit. That spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. That's the power of Almighty God. Jeremiah chapter 1, I want you to turn there, please. Oh, amen. What a God we serve, people. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Chapter 1, look at this. This is the prophet Jeremiah saying this. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the prophet Jeremiah, okay? And it's saying this, he's prophesying this. He said, before I formed you, now the Lord is telling this to him, I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Oh, my God. Keep that scripture up there. Before the foundations of the earth, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It is God that forms that child. you were formed in the belly of your mother. Now, we know certain things have to happen to come together, but you were formed by God. And God loves you. You might have people saying you're not worth much, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. But let me tell you this, we're worth a lot to Him. We're worth a lot to our Father. You're worth a lot because He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the cross just for you. You're worth a lot to Him. You're very precious to Him. Very, very precious to Him. I formed thee in the belly of thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, God, every time a baby is formed, the sperm and the egg come together, and that baby starts to develop. It takes 9 months or so for the body to develop, the lungs and the legs and the horns and the mouth and the teeth and the hair and whatever else. It says, God Almighty, the Jeremiah, says, I already ordained to be a prophet. In the belly of your mother, whatever circumstances that was, God had already started to form you. That His Spirit was already in you because of the Spirit that comes and lives, as it says in Zechariah, the Spirit that's formed by God in us. Already in us. And He's already ordained us in His kingdom. I'm not talking about salvation. Ordained us to do something in the kingdom. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, already ordained in the belly of his mother. God has already set plans for you and I from the foundations of the earth when you were conceived. That's the kind of God that loves us. That even in the belly of our mothers, that God had already put a work for us. God had already called us to do certain things. Now, do we fulfill it? That's not depending upon God if we fulfill it. It's really depending upon us. He will do everything He can to call us in, to get us saved, to get us filled with the Holy Spirit, to do the work that He calls us to do. Whatever it may be in the kingdom of God. That God calls us. That we're just not floundering around. You know, you hear the old question, why am I here? You know, humanity. Why am I here? Why am I here? What's the big old question? Why are we here? There's a reason why we're here. Because God has ordained humanity to be here. And to give praise and honor and to do His work. Now, did it turn out like what it was supposed to be? Well, we know this. Adam and Eve went a different path. The sin nature came into humanity. It brought us down. God had to send a Savior. Just think of this. We're probably the only race that I know of, and when I say race, I'm talking about humanity, that God sent His only Son, the only race. Talk about love for us. The love of the Father for us. That He would say to all of them, that happened 2000, but from the foundations of the earth, they say it's about 6,000 years, or whatever, I don't know what, there's different measures, whatever. When God formed, not so much formed the earth, but made Adam and Eve. But His plan was already in motion when Adam and Eve sinned. Because you see, it brought a break, a big divide between humanity and God. And God had already set into motion a sacrifice that would have to be made. And he told Adam and Eve to do the sacrifices. He told their sons, Cain and Abel, to do the sacrifices. That's why God was so mad at Cain killed Abel. That's why He was so mad at Cain, because he brought him little vegetables and stuff. God wanted a blood sacrifice because it represented His Son. Grapes and vegetables don't represent the blood of Calvary. And it's only the blood that takes away sin. It's only the blood that takes away and cleanses somebody's soul. It's only faith in Christ and what Christ did at Calvary's cross that could bring liberty and freedom to people. The blood of Calvary's cross, people. God loves us so much. You know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the first part, God so loved the world. You can put it this way, for God so loved Joseph. Put your name in there. For God so loved, put your name. For God so loved, put your name. Can you imagine the love of the Father towards us? That he said, look, I love them so much, I can't see them like this forever. And he gave his Son. He said, hear, earth. Hear, humanity. We know what's going to happen. All designed by God has to be done correctly. But the giving of his Son, the shedding of that blood, the perfect lamb, not a substitute anymore, but a perfect lamb to take care of his people. Then God came in and gave us life so that we could have it more abundantly through his Son, through his Son. Through his Son. Let me tell you, it's only through the cross of Calvary. It's only through Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. It's not through Mary. It's not through Buddha. It's not through any of those things, but it's through Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, the only one that gave his life, the only one that laid down his life as a lamb to the slaughter. And he could have got up, but did not. But laid himself as a lamb to the slaughter. He did not come against the people. He did not rile against the people at all. But he laid down his life even for the soldiers and for the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were tearing him apart and breaking his back and tearing his back apart and his head and his arms and his feet and even his side. But gave his life as he said. He knew one sacrifice of one body, of the Son of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would bring millions into the kingdom. Buddy, we thank God for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior and what he did at Calvary's cross, because he loves you, and he loves you for who you are. And he wants, yes, he wants us to change. And that's the Spirit of Almighty God that comes in and helps us to change. But yet he loves us, people. He loves us and gives us life. John 10:10 said, I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. People, we are in Christ. John 14:20, look at this. John 14:20. Oh, Almighty God, Almighty God. Says, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, speaking of Jesus being God and his deity, and you in me, and I in you. Oh my God. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father. Jesus is saying this. You're going to know that I am of my Father. And you, talking about us, are in me. Talking about him, Jesus Christ. And I am in you. My Lord, that's the kind of God that gives life. We are in Christ. Look at this. Before you and I got saved, we were not in Christ. No matter how good we are, we were. No matter how much money we gave to the poor, no matter what we did for Christmas or Thanksgiving and buying gifts and giving food and all that stuff. And all those things are good. Nothing wrong with it. But we were in the enemy or in the devil or in the world. When we gave our lives to the Lord and we said, Father, I give you my life. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He is my God, my Lord, my Savior. I will live for him from this day forward. I forsake all things and I put him first. It's like he takes us and we step over and we become in Christ. Ooh. Now, I didn't say we become imperfect. We're not perfect. We're in Christ. We're under His shield. We're under His wings, if you want to say it that way. We are in Christ. That means now, as we are in Christ, and we put our faith in what Christ did at Calvary's cross, the Spirit of Almighty God is unleashed from heaven above and comes to us and helps us. As we pray to the Father and we go through the Son, Jesus Christ, to get to the Father, the Spirit of God is leashed out unto us and He helps us to stay in Christ, firmly planted in Christ. And as we put our faith in Him and what He did at Calvary's cross, we are in Christ. That means we will never back up. We will never backslide. We will never be swayed to the left or to the right because we are in Christ. That doesn't mean that storms won't come. It says it rains on the just and the what? Unjust. Seems like we've gotten a lot of rain there. Physical rain. But it rains on the just and the unjust. And so we got to keep our faith in Him no matter what. Because we are in Christ. And the Father, when He looks at us, because we were in Christ and we made that decision, He sees the Jesus in us and blesses us, pours out His anointing, pours out His blessings. But we got to be conscious of where we are in Christ, that we are in Him. Now look at this. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Almost time to close, people. Trying to hurry up here. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We're in Christ. He's the life bearer. We're talking about life. He's the life bearer unto us. That's the kind of God we serve. We're in Christ, no matter what. No matter what hardships come our way, no matter what triumphs come our way, no matter what hard battles we have to fight at times, if we stay in Christ, we have victory no matter what. Victory in Jesus.